If you would, let's open our Bibles to Psalm 63. Psalm 63. Lord willing, tomorrow is early as two non-morning people can. Janet and I will depart, go as far as we can go on our trip to Louisville, Arkansas. Tomorrow I'll be preaching this weekend, and we covered your prayers as we travel and preach. All right, Psalm 63. O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see Thy power and Thy glory, so as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary. Because Thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise Thee. Thus will I bless Thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in Thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise Thee with joyful lips. When I remember Thee upon my bed and meditate on Thee in the night watches, because Thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of Thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after Thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped.
Let's turn now in our hymnal to number 45. 45.
Ye servants of God, your master proclaim and publish abroad his wonderful name. The name of victorious of Jesus extol. His kingdom is glorious. He rules over all. God ruleth on high, almighty to save. And still he is nigh. His presence we have. The great congregation his triumph shall sing, ascribing salvation to Jesus our King. Salvation to God who sits on the throne. Let all cry aloud and honor the Son. The praises of Jesus the angels proclaim, fall down on their faces and worship the Lamb. Then let us adore and give Him His right, all glory and power and wisdom and might, all honor and blessing with angels above, and thanks never ceasing and infinite love.
Now turn over to 205. 205.
From the law, oh happy condition, Jesus hath bled, and there is remission. Cursed by the law, and death by the fall, grace hath redeemed us. once for all sinner receive it. Once for all brother believe it. Cling to the cross, the burden will fall. Christ has redeemed us once for all. Now are we free, there's no condemnation. Jesus provides a perfect salvation. Come unto me, oh, hear his sweet call. Come and he saves us once for all. Once for all, oh, sinner, receive it. Once for all, oh, brother, believe it. Cling to the cross, the burden will fall. Christ has redeemed us once for all. Children of God, oh, glorious calling, surely His grace will keep us from falling. Passing from death to life at His call, blessed salvation once for all. Once for all, oh, sinner, receive it. Once for all, oh, brother, believe it. Cling to the cross, the burden will fall. Christ hath redeemed us once for all.
Let's open our Bibles now to Psalm 106. Psalm 106. We'll read the first 12 verses. Praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all His praise? Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor that Thou bearest unto Thy people. O visit me with Thy salvation, that I may see the good of Thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of Thy nation, that I may glory with Thine inheritance. We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Our fathers understood not Thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of Thy mercies, but provoked Him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, He saved them for His name's sake, that He might make His mighty power to be known. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up. So He led them through the depths as through the wilderness. And He saved them from the hand of him that hated them, and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. And the waters covered their enemies, and there was not one of them left. Then believed they His words. They sang His praise. Thank God for His word. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father, Lord, we bow in Your presence this evening with thankful hearts, hearts that are full of praise for Your matchless name. How thankful we are that You are God, that none can stay Your hand or say unto You, what doest Thou? That You always do Your pleasure. Your will is always accomplished. Father, we thank You for how wisely You rule all things. And we thank You, and we humbly praise You for how graciously You rule all things for Your people. How we thank you for your mercy and your grace that saves your people from all their sin. That nothing can stand in the way of you calling them to your Son, enabling them to see him and believe him by faith. Father, how we thank you. How we thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ. His perfect obedience to your law is the only righteousness we could have. His sacrifice, his blood is the only way our sin can be forgiven. And Father, we thank you. And Father, I beg of thee tonight that you would enable us to worship thee in spirit and in truth. Let the name of our Lord Jesus Christ be exalted and magnified, that your people might see him, that you might be pleased tonight to reveal yourself to one of your sheep who has, of right now, hasn't yet believed you. Father, make this the night of mercy. Make this the night that you visit your people with thy salvation. And Father, cause your word to reach the hearts of your people, to encourage us, and comfort us, and strengthen us. Resting, enable us to rest in Christ our Savior. Let us see him and rest, and have peace in him. And Father, we thank you for all the blessings. How richly you have blessed this congregation. Blessed us more than human tongue can say. And Father, we're thankful. And we beg of you, Father, that you would forgive us for the times we murmur and complain, just like our fathers did at the Red Sea. After all you've done for us, yet we don't trust you. We murmur and complain and find fault. Father, forgive us. Despite our weakness and our sin, nevertheless, save us for thy name's sake. That's our prayer, that you'd save us for your name's sake. Get glory to your name. Saving your people. Give glory to your name by blessing the word that's preached here from this pulpit tonight and in the days and weeks and months and years ahead. Father, bless your word for your name's sake. Let it be known there's a God in Israel. There's a Savior for sinners. Call your people to come and hear. Hear of him and by your grace believing. Father, all these things we ask and we give thanks in that name which is above every name. In the name of Christ our Savior. Amen.
Terry, let's start off with the chorus of that song, okay? Let the congregation sing with us.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. Some thank the Lord for friends and home, for mercy sure and sweet. But I would praise him for his grace. In prayer I would repeat, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. I trust in him. From day to day, I prove his saving grace. I'll sing this song of praise to him until I see his face. Thy great salvation so rich and free.
All right, let's open our Bibles again to Psalm 106. The title of our message this morning, Visit Me with Thy Salvation. I took the title from the end of verse 4 that says, Oh, visit me with thy salvation. And I want us to look at seven things that it means when God visits his people with his salvation. And number one, this is a very obvious one. When God visits his people with his salvation, he does it because of his eternal mercy. Verse 1 says, Praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endureth forever. Now this phrase, his mercy endureth forever. You'll notice that word endureth is in italics. It's actually, what is actually written is, his mercy forever. That's a very common phrase throughout the psalm. His mercy forever. That means that God's mercy is eternal. It doesn't have a beginning. It doesn't have an ending. And God's eternal mercy ought to be a theme that all of us sing often. Because the only reason God ever visits any sinner with his salvation is because God's mercy endureth forever. Because his mercy is greater than all of our sin. God's mercy is eternal. That means God's mercy is as old as God is. God never changes, does he? God's eternal. So his mercy is eternal. His mercy never changes. God has eternally purposed mercy for his people. God has never looked at his people outside of Christ. He's never looked at his people with wrath and anger. He's always looked at them in mercy. Because God's mercy forever. Now, God did not purpose mercy for his people because he could look down through the telescope of time and see his people would be better and more deserving than the other sons of Adam. If God's elect were better than the other sons of Adam, they wouldn't need mercy, would they? No, they weren't any better than the rest of the sons of Adam. They were just as bad. They desperately needed God's mercy. Now, mercy is God not giving us what we do deserve. Well, what is it that we deserve? All of us, every single one of us, deserve damnation for our sin. Because of our sin, every one of us deserve God's wrath. Yet God's mercy is so great. God's mercy, the eternal mercy that he has promised his people, is so great. The Father shows mercy to his people, and he does not damn them. He does not pour out his wrath upon them. You know why? There's a good reason for it. It's because the Father already punished Christ our substitute with the hell our sin deserves. So there's none left for him to pour out upon his people. All that's left for his people is mercy. So when God visits his people with his salvation, he visits them in mercy. Carrying out his eternal purpose of mercy for them. And when we hear that, and we think about God's mercy, we should say what the psalmist says here, Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We should start out every day praising God for his mercy. We should end every day praising God for his mercy. And all the time in between, as often as, you know, I know everybody's busy. You got things to do. I mean, but just always right there in our mind should be this constant theme. Thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his mercy. God's eternal mercy. God's eternal purpose of mercy for his people guarantees their salvation. God will visit his people with mercy. All right, number two. God visits his people with his salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2 says, Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all of his praise? Blessed are they that keep judgment and he that doeth righteousness at all times. Now the answer to this question, who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Blessed is this one who keeps judgment, doeth righteousness all the time. You know that's only one person, don't you? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Who can tell all the mighty acts of God? Well, only His Son can. Only Christ can. Who's the only one who can keep God's judgment? Who's the only one that can do righteousness at all times? Never do anything unrighteous. Only the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the blessed one. See, we can't keep any of God's judgments, can we? No, we can't keep any of them at any time. We can't do anything righteous at any time. But the Lord Jesus Christ came. And He did obey God's law. He kept all of God's judgments. He did righteousness all the time. So that His obedience would make His people righteous in their representative. And we would know none of God's mighty acts if Christ didn't come and reveal them to us. He's the one that utters them. Now I know we could tell, at least if we've got a Bible, we could read some of Genesis, we could tell something about God's mighty acts of creation, couldn't we? We might even have some idea of how God rules this earth in providence, how His hand directs everything. We might have some idea of that. But we do a mighty poor job of it, even at that, don't we? But God's mighty act, His great act, is the act of redemption for His people. And Mike, we know none of it. We know nothing of God's greatest act if the Lord Jesus Christ didn't come and tell it. If He didn't come and show us it in Himself. See, we can't describe a fraction of God's glory. We can't describe a fraction of God's wisdom in anything that He does. Because we only see through a glass darkly. The Son is one with the Father. He can tell. He can show us God's purpose, God's mighty act of redemption for His people. It's all in the Lord Jesus Christ. When God visits His people with salvation, He does it in the person of His Son. When His Son comes where we are and reveals Himself to us. So that the only thing we know about salvation is when we see Christ. The only time we know anything about salvation is when we see Christ, when we see Him as He is. It's His obedience that matters. That's the only thing that matters. It's His obedience. It's His sacrifice. It's the only thing that matters. It's His blood. It's His power to say, I don't have any. I can't. I see these TV preachers trying to talk people. They're trying to talk me into making a decision for Jesus and trying to talk me into doing all these things. But I can't do it. I don't have that power. But Christ does. He's got the power to cleanse from sin. He's got the power to save to the uttermost. He's got the power to give life. He's got the power to keep. It's all the only thing we ever know about salvation is when we see the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way we know anything about God's love for sinners is by seeing Christ. How do we know God loves sinners? I mean, everybody says that. God loves you. So do I. How do you know God loves sinners? Just one way. He sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. See, the only thing we know about salvation is by seeing the Lord Jesus Christ. And when God visits us with His salvation, He visits us in the person of His Son. So that we see Christ. We see the glory of God. By faith, we see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. See, God's greatest glory is His sovereign mercy. God's greatest glory is that God would decide to show mercy to any sinner. That's amazing. That's God's greatest glory. And the only way we see God's mercy is by seeing the Lord Jesus Christ, our substitute. That's how God visits His people with His salvation. It's by visiting us in the person of His Son and revealing Christ to us. All right, thirdly, God visits His people with His salvation because He remembers them. He remembers His covenant. Verse 4, the psalmist says, "Remember me, O Lord, with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. Oh, visit me with thy salvation." Now, this word visit has several meanings. First, it means to come and visit, just like our Lord did for Zacchaeus. The Lord was passing through town, wasn't he? And he stopped. He stopped for one man. He stopped at one tree. He went to one house that day, didn't he? The house, and it's the house of the most unlikely man in town, Zacchaeus. See, the Lord visits his people by coming where they are. That's what our Lord did. He became a man, and he dwelt among us. He came where we are, in the cesspool of this world, to redeem us out of it. In the new birth, the Lord visits his people by coming into their heart and ruling there. Now, you think what condescension that is. How far down did the Lord have to go? He went slumming. How far down did he have to go to go slumming with the likes of us? I heard my dad say one time, people try to describe, what? How far did Christ come down to become a man, to redeem us? He said, he's heard people compare that to me becoming a maggot. He said, if I would compare the distance that Christ traveled from his height of glory to becoming a man, to how far down I'd have to go to become a maggot, that would be an insult to maggots everywhere. How far down did the Savior have to come to become a man, to go slumming with the likes of us, to come where we are? He's in our midst right now. How far down does he have to come to do that? How far down does he have to come to dwell in the hearts of his people? But he does it, doesn't he? He does it in mercy, bringing his salvation. He brings his salvation when he visits his people. But when the Lord visits his people, this is not just a visit. We're going to go visit Arkansas this weekend. But we're leaving that place. I mean, I really don't. I'd like to live here more than that. Sorry, folks in Arkansas, but that's just the way it is. We're going to leave that place. That's not how the Lord visits his people. He comes, he stays. He stays. Brings his salvation. When the Lord visited Zacchaeus' house, what did he say? Today, salvation's come to this house. For as much as he also is a son of Abraham. He's in this covenant. He's in this covenant. He's one of God's elect, and Christ came and visited him, bringing salvation. Then this word visit also means to look after and care for, like the great shepherd of the sheep. And like I said, the Lord doesn't just come for a quick one-time visit. When he visits his people with his salvation, he comes to the heart and he stays and he rules there forever. The Lord does not visit his people with salvation and then set them down and leave it up to the sheep to fend for themselves and to find their own way to glory. He doesn't do that because you know what sheep would do, don't you? They get lost again. They get eaten up by the wolf. The good shepherd's not going to do that. The good shepherd is not going to give his life for his sheep and then leave them up to their own devices, to their own will, to their own way. He's not going to do that. The Lord visits his people and he stays, watching over them, protecting them, feeding them, just like the great shepherd of the sheep would. And then this word visit means to number or to count. Like the Father numbered, he counted his people in divine election. When he gave his sheep to his Son, he numbered. He counted out an exact number of sheep, an exact flock of sheep, called out by name, chosen by name, and gave them to his Son. He gave them to his Son to save. He gave them to his Son to keep and to preserve and bring to glory. And the Lord Jesus Christ is going to visit every last one of them with God's salvation. He's going to save them. And he's going to keep them. He's going to watch over them. He's going to protect them. He's going to bring them all to glory. He said that during his earthly ministry, didn't he? He said, "Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And I'm going to get the job done. They shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Now the Lord visits His people, bringing God's salvation to them in all those meanings of the word when He remembers them. When He remembers them. Every believer has the same prayer that the thief on the cross had. Lord, remember me. Oh, Lord, remember me. Lord, remember me when you come incarnate to work out a righteousness for your people. Lord, remember me and work out a righteousness for me. Come to save me. Lord, remember me when you go to the cross to suffer and die for the sin of your people. Lord, remember me. Put my name on your heart. Just like the high priest. When that high priest on the Day of Atonement, he went in to make atonement for the sins of the people, didn't he? What people? I mean, do we wonder? Well, I don't know who he was making intercession for there. I don't know who he's making atonement for. No, we know, don't we? How do we know? Because on his breastplate were 12 stones. And those stones had the names of the tribes of Israel inscribed upon them. He went to make atonement for the sins of Israel. Lord, that's what I need you to do for me. When you go to the Calvary's tree to suffer and die, Lord, would you remember me? Could you possibly carve my name on your heart and die for me? It's my only hope. I'm begging you, Lord, remember me. Lord, remember me when you arise and ascend back to the Father. And you enter into your kingdom. You enter there as the mediator for your people. Lord, remember me. As you live, making intercession for your people, Lord, would you make intercession for me? And you know, He'll do that for His people. The Lord will never forget His people. He'll never neglect His people. In His Word, God describes His people as His little children. As His little children. There was a time Janet and I had two little children in our house. And they're grown up adults now. They call it adulting. They're adulting now. They're managing their affairs and living their life, you know. But to their daddy and their mama, there's still a little girl there. And when they need something, I can tell you somebody who's not going to neglect them. Now, we may not always be there. In fact, we won't. We may not always be able to go in there and do our, you know, mom and daddy thing and fix it. But they're our little children. We're not going to forget them. How much more do you reckon our Heavenly Father will never neglect His little children? And He'll always be there. He always has the power to give His children just exactly what they need. He'll remember. He'll remember. All right, fourthly, God visits His people with His salvation. And when He does, He gives them good and glory. Verse 5. He says, "Visit me, O visit me with thy salvation, that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that I may glory with thine inheritance." Now, God's elect, they're just like all the rest of the sons of Adam. They're absolutely no different. They have no good about them. They have no glory about them. You and I are not good. We're evil. Our Lord said we're accustomed to doing evil. But we're evil. We can't do any good. And we've never done anything worthy of any glory. Not at all. The only thing that we can earn for what we've done is shame. To be ashamed. But when God visits His people with His salvation, we see good. Good. And I tell you how we see good. It's seeing the Lord Jesus Christ. He says here that I may see the good of thy chosen. Well, who is God's chosen? It's Christ. His Son is the God's first elect. And He is good. Oh, He's good. He's good because He's God. Since He's God, He's righteous and holy. Of course He's good. There's none good but God. He's good. And when God's people see Christ, when God visits us with His salvation, we see Christ, our goodness. Now I see there's one way I can be made good, and it's in Him. When God visits His people with His salvation, He makes them good in Christ. And He's so good in keeping His people from falling. He'll never lose one of them. See, Christ is God's chosen. He's God's first elect. In the book of Ephesians, when the Apostle Paul wrote about the one who first trusted in Christ, that's the Father. God the Father was the one who first trusted in Christ. He chose His Son to be the Savior of His people, and He trusted Him to fulfill all of that covenant of grace. And when God visits His people with His salvation, this is what He's doing. He's fulfilling His eternal covenant of grace. He didn't visit us because we did anything good. He didn't visit us with His salvation because we did something right. He didn't visit us with His salvation because we did something to deserve it. He visited us with His salvation because God's good, to fulfill His covenant of grace. And people can argue with God's covenant mercies all they want. God's covenant mercies is simply this. God chose a people to save. He chose a people to be merciful to them, and He will be merciful to them. People can argue against that all they want. I don't know why. I do know why. It's because they're dead. It's because they're in the flesh. When God visits His people with His salvation because of His covenant mercies, God's people see, that's good. That's good. That's wise. God's covenant mercy, not based on anything about me, but wholly based upon the Lord Jesus Christ, is the only way salvation can never be lost. If it's all dependent upon Him. If it's all in Christ, that's good. And all of God's people, His inheritance here, He talks about His inheritance. Christ's inheritance is all of His people. All of them glory in God's salvation. All God's people, wherever you find them, all believe the exact same thing concerning the salvation of their souls. It's all in Christ. It's all in Him. And that's a blessing, isn't it? That's a blessing to be able to gather together with God's inheritance and worship Him and praise Him. That's a blessing. I tell you, God has blessed this congregation. He visited us with His salvation. I'm thankful. All right, here's the fifth thing. God visits His people with His salvation for His name's sake. His name. Not because of our works, for His name's sake. Verse 6. We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We've done wickedly. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea. Even at the Red Sea. I mean, right after they came out of Egypt, right after they were delivered from Egypt with His mighty hand, right after God answered their prayer, they've been crying for 400 years, God deliver us from Egypt, and He did it with a great hand, didn't He? Mighty power. Immediately after that, they provoked Him at the Red Sea by not believing Him, by not trusting Him. Nevertheless, His grace, His mercy is never less than our sin. God's power is never less than our rebellion. Nevertheless, He saved them for His name's sake, that He might make His mighty power to be known. Now, Scripture has so much to say about salvation. Salvation by grace. You cannot read through very many pages of this book at all before you just keep running into this constant theme, salvation by grace. Salvation is all of God's grace. And just to be sure that we get that, many times when Scripture says salvation is by grace, immediately following that it says, and not by works. Just so you understand what I mean when I say salvation is all of grace, it means not by works. I'll give you a couple of examples. Ephesians 2, verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Titus 3, 5. Not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. And here the psalmist says the same thing. We've done wickedly. That's all we've done. We've done wickedly. All we can do is sin. Even after God's been so kind to us, I don't think it's a stretch to say God's been more kind to us right here than He was to Israel in Egypt. God's been more kind to us than that. He gave them a physical deliverance. He's given us a spiritual deliverance. God's been so good. Oh, God's been so good to us. And still, all we do is sin. Still. God has been so kind to us. God has been so faithful to us. Is there anybody here that would dare say God's not been faithful to me? Not one person. Yet what do? Just like the children of Israel. We provoke Him to His face. Oh yeah, we believe God. We sing God's praises. Talk about God's mercy and grace and everything's going well. What about when you get the plethora? Bad tidings that come to us in the flesh. You know, we all, unless God keeps us from it, you know, the first thing every one of us does, God can't deliver me out of this one. God can't deliver me out of this one. I was about 25 years old, and had two babies, and working my way up in this company. You know, I had big plans. I was going to rise up in this company. And in one morning, every person in that building, without warning, lost their job. I had two babies at home. The day before that happened, I signed my first mortgage on a house. And you know what went through my mind? We're going to lose it all. What's going on here? You know God was able to deliver us. God was able. And you apply that to everything we face in this life. Everything. And the first little thing that comes up, we think, oh, God's not going to be able to deliver me from this one. I know He's able, but He's just not going to. He's just forgotten about me. That's provoking God to His face. Not believing Him. Not trusting Him. And nevertheless, as we go through this psalm in the coming weeks, you'll see this over and over and over and over and over again. Oh my goodness, God's mercy. And His people, oh, they trusted Him and they praised Him. Tara Kenna was telling me she loves the children of Israel. She tells her class how God, just in miraculous power, delivers His people. And she said, about 2 days, they praise the Lord. They're so thankful and they trust Him. That lasts about 2 days and they're back to murmuring and complaining and think God's forgotten us. Nevertheless, God delivers them. Oh, they're so thankful. They praise God. They're so thankful and they trust Him and they praise Him for about 2 days. And then they go back to murmuring. Nevertheless. You see that cycle repeated over and over and over in this psalm. Because we see it repeated over and over and over in our lifetime. Nevertheless. Nevertheless, in spite of all the sin of His people, in spite of the fact that we've never done one thing to deserve salvation, in spite of the fact that everything we do deserves God's wrath, in spite of the fact that we just at every turn, I mean the slightest molehill comes up and we don't trust Him, nevertheless, God saves His people and He visits them with His salvation. Now why does He do that? Well, we've seen it's not because His people deserve any mercy, is it? Mercy can't be deserved. Mercy is only undeserved. Nevertheless than the sin of His people, never less than the weakness of His people, God saves His people for His name's sake, so that His name will be glorified. God visits His people with His salvation so He will get the glory. God visits His people with His salvation so He won't lose His glory. In eternity, He purposed and He promised that He would save His people from their sin. He would save them by His grace in Christ Jesus. So no matter what happens, God will visit His people with His salvation because God's not going to lose any of His glory. He's going to have all of the glory. And He's going to make it known. He's going to make the glory of His name known. No matter how sinful His people have been, He's got the power to save them. No matter how weak His people are, He'll never forsake one of them. So that He gets the glory in bringing them all to heaven. Then a good prayer for us would be, Lord, give glory to Your name in saving a wretch like me. I believe God will answer that prayer. I know He will. All right, here's the sixth thing. God visits His people with His salvation to give them complete salvation from all of their sin. Verse 9. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up. So He led them through the depths as through the wilderness. And He saved them from the hand of him that hated them, and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. And the waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. Now this story of the children of Israel at the Red Sea is a picture of salvation from sin by the blood of Christ without any works of His people. Now you know the story. Israel, they went to the Red Sea and they were trapped. They couldn't go forward. The sea was blocking their way. They couldn't go to the right or to the left. There were mountains on both sides of them. They couldn't go back where they came from. Pharaoh's army blocked the only exit between those two mountains. Pharaoh's army was bearing down on them. And Moses told them, stand still. Don't try to help God out here. Just stand still. And when you're still, you'll see the salvation of the Lord. God's going to visit them with His salvation, and you'll see it when you're still. And that's a picture of how our sin has trapped us. We can't go forward, can we? Adam's sin's ruined that. We can't cross this great gulf that's fixed between us and God. We can't go to the right. God's law is there stopping us, so we can't keep it. We can't go to the left. God's holiness is there, and God's holiness will not let us escape because we're guilty. And we can't go back where we came from. God's justice is bearing down on us to destroy us, blocked all escape. And then, when God's people have no choice but to stand still because you can't go anywhere, then when God makes us be still, He visits us with His salvation. He sends us the gospel that tells us, quit working. Quit trying to help God out. Quit trying to do something that you think make God happy with you and stand still. And when you're still and you quit trying to contribute anything, you'll see the salvation of the Lord. Then you'll see the salvation that the Father purposed in eternity. The salvation that the Son purchased for His people at Calvary. The salvation that God the Holy Spirit applies to the hearts of His people. You'll see, once you're still, you'll see salvation is all a work of God. And you'll see the blood of Christ. You'll see the blood of His sacrifice make the way to God wide open. Because it removes all the sin of His people by that great Red Sea of His precious blood that cleanses us from all sin. And after the children of Israel crossed that Red Sea on dry ground, they turned around and looked back where they came from. There's Pharaoh's army. They thought, we're going to cross the same way Israel did. And those walls of water came crashing down and drowned every last soldier in that army, Pharaoh included. There wasn't one survivor. Every last one of them was drowned in the Red Sea. Not one of those soldiers could ever come against Israel again, could they? That's God visiting His people, His salvation. God's elect look back at the sacrifice of Christ, and they see the blood of Christ has taken away every sin. Every sin that would eternally damn my soul has been taken away under the blood of Christ. There's not one sin left
for God's elect. They're all gone.
They're under the blood. They can never threaten you again. Oh, Satan's the accuser of the brethren. He'll accuse you. And you know what the Father will say?
What sin? It's gone.
There's not one sin left that can damn God's people. Then we have nothing to fear, do we? We have nothing to fear when God visits us with His salvation. Then lastly, God visits His people with His salvation to give them faith in Christ. Verse 12, then believed they His words. They sang His praise. When the children of Israel saw what God had done, they believed. How can you not? How can you not? They believed and they sang His praise. When God the Holy Spirit, when He brings God's salvation, He visits us with God's salvation, He gives His people faith in Christ so they see Him. And they believe Him. When we see Christ, we believe. We'll believe. I know this. When God gives you eyes to see, you'll see Christ. And when you see Him, you'll see that He is all your salvation. And you'll believe Him. And to believe Christ simply means this, that all it takes to save me is Christ. That's all it takes. It's Him. And we'll sing His praises. We'll sing His praises. And the rest of this psalm, like I said a few minutes ago, tells us the story of Israel. How God delivered them and they almost immediately went to doubting Him. And this psalm tells us, nevertheless, in spite of the weak faith and failures of God's people, you know what God did? He kept His promise. He kept His promise. And He visited them with His salvation. And that is the hope of every person, God says. Every person, when God visits them with His salvation, this is their one hope. Their one hope. You might be able to confuse them with doctrine. You might be able to confuse them and twist things around, but you can't twist this hope away from their heart. Salvation is of the Lord. From beginning to ending. It's all of Him. He didn't leave one thing undone. So there's not one thing I have to put my finger to make it effectual. And that's a good thing. Because if He did, if He left one thing that I had to put my finger to make it effectual, I'd ruin it. But He knew that. He provided salvation fully for His people. Salvation is of the Lord from beginning to end. And that's what we see, what we believe, what we cling to when God visits us with His salvation. It's His salvation. All right. Oh, the Lord will bless that to you. Let's bow together. Our Father, I thank You for this time that You've given us to read and study Your Word. To hear one more time of Christ our Savior. Father, I pray You bless Your Word as it's been preached. Bless Your Word, not our words and our thoughts, but Father, bless Your Word to the hearts of Your people. Father, we beg of You, would You visit us tonight with Thy salvation? Father, would You get glory to Your name in saving such weak, sinful, doubting, rebellious people as we are, would You get glory to Your name in saving us and keeping us by Your mercy and by Your grace. Father, we ask this great blessing for Your name's sake, for the glory of Christ our Savior. It's in His blessed name we pray.
Let's stand and sing 216. 216. Calvary.
Oh.